This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. 17 years ago, in a studio, in a barn, on the Naramata bench, we started this show. Basically, to teach myself about wine and meet the fascinating people in wine and learn from them. And in the process, as I learned, you could learn as well. And you passed on your messages to me, your questions to me, and I asked them of the people. Now, here's the deal. We've talked to as many as 20 people in a show, in a one-hour show, maybe even more. But this time it's only one. It's Harry Hirschick, who is the executive director of the 44th Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. It goes this year from April 22nd to April 30th at the Vancouver Convention Center. There's two themes, sparkling wines from around the world and South America. That covers a lot of ground, friends. Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Italy, Japan, New Zealand, Spain, the United States, almost 30 wines from the United States, and one from Brazil. I love talking to Harry Hirschick. We've done it for 17 years. He spends his entire year getting ready for this moment, not the interview, but the festival. And I know he listens to Tasting Room Radio as he rides his bike. And so, Harry, if you're on your bike, this show's for you. Be careful out there. Really careful. Because you will be listening to yourself. And you may get confused. All right, here we go. Everything you possibly could want to know about the 44th Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. We'll do our very best to be there to cover it off. Here we go. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. April brings fresh new wines to Unsworth. Cowichan Pinot Gris, Rosé, Sunnydale Rosé, Saison Pinot Gris, and Symphony. There's a spring release party April 22nd, and we welcome a grand new chef, Dan Bain, and a brand new executive chef brings a brand new menu that's launching right now. How about a steak? Boursin Bash, Vegetables, Symphony Jus. How about Two Rivers Burgers and Fries or Grilled Romaine Heart Salad? You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I just used the word giggle because I get giggly when, and this is an old school phoner, friends. This is the way radio, this is what Wolfman would have done on his show. He is the executive director of the Vancouver Wine Fest, International Wine Festival. And if I'm not mistaken, because I never know this, Harry, but I think because it's one of my lucky numbers, I believe this is episode 44 of your fest.
Yes, it is. Good to connect with you.
Thank you. As you know, we all heard the story about the Vancouver Folk Festival, packing it in. And then all of a sudden, you knew there would be a response. You knew there'd be dialogue going on all of a sudden, and they've come back again. And they're going to actually function as a Vancouver folk festival, which is a big deal because it ties into Calgary and Edmonton and Winnipeg in terms of the booking. How are the wine festivals handling those sort of situations? Are there some going down?
You know, I used to manage the Vancouver Fringe Theatre Festival a long time ago, and festivals are very kind of unique beasts because as a business model, it makes no sense to kind of build a business up and then tear it down each year. You know, it makes in some ways more sense to have like a daily operation because then you can kind of measure, you can have some efficiencies and you can have like, regular operations. But when you build something for just a weekend, like the Folk Music Festival, or just a week, like the Wine Festival, you still have overhead all year round, and you're putting all your eggs in a basket of just a few days long. It's very stressful. It makes it really makes no sense to do that. But yet, as humans, we love events because they excite us. They are costly, and event costs are going up. But each festival connects with a certain community, and as long as that community loves your event, loves your festival in the community you're in the city you're in, the region you're in, then you continue for another day. So it's hard to know how the impact is going to be on wine events because there hasn't been that many in a couple of years, so mm-hmm. We really haven't fully seen the full comeback. And wine events, in most cases, unless there's a crisis like a pandemic, they don't get government funding. Arts and culture events do. So there is some stability in that. I know the Folk Music Festival, which I've attended many, many times, love the event. They've had some, you know, challenges. So it's so great that they are coming back. That's a good sign.
Sure.
Because it's a sign that the government and society and the community value not just for-profit businesses and not just healthcare, not just education, but values the importance of our mental health and the importance to our culture of these festivals, whether it's theater or whether it's music, whether it's wine, whether it's food. We have to celebrate our artists and our creativity in our community.
See, it brings to question.
God, you got me passionate there about this topic.
Because, you know, winemaking is an art form. It's an art form. I actually don't have that discussion. I don't have an argument with anybody about that anymore. I'm absolutely convinced after 17 years of doing Tasting Room Radio, it's an art form. It's also a culture, but then it's not going to get the grants that other arts and culture would, but it survives. It stands its ground. Very good. Nice to hear.
I agree. Full stop.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
And I used to be in theater and I, managing the Fringe Festival and now I'm in wine and it is, there's so much creativity. And it's a constantly moving target. There's new harvests. There's new producers. There's new places that make wine. And wine is, you know, speaks to where it comes from. And artists and performers and musicians play and perform to where they come from in our history. Anyway, we could go on about
but,
that.
I mean, if you're talking to an artist, a painter, for example, and they're talking about blending this color here and that and layers and textures and balance. Those are the same phrases we use for wine.
Wine and art are things that cannot just be made in isolation. You can't just put it in the factory and make it more efficient. You need the connectivity of the community and people sharing ideas. And yeah, that's. And then we're going to do this. We're going to have this collision of passionate people in only like in about a month's time.
Well, I don't know how much they're going to collide because you have more room. And smaller crowds. Well, yeah, smaller crowds. There's not as many people in the room at the tastings. Is that correct?
I know. Only about 2,000 people. Okay, last year we were at 1,000.
Okay, fine.
And sometimes we're at 2,500. I think this year we're going to have about 1,600 to 1,800. So it's going to be more than last year, but still more elbow room than previous years. And I don't really want to go back to the full size because I think people do need a little more space. The exhibitors need a little more space. I think people, and also I think one of the things people need to do as we come out of the pandemic is by having the room not be as busy, it means that the people who attend and can have more time with the producers, more conversations. Not just keep pouring. You know, it's kind of like the belly up to the bar, the tasting room,
in
the winery, and
tell
you're just churning out numbers. And then, like, hey, if you reduce the numbers, you can have a little more quality one-on-one experience with each person.
You have two themes this year. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. If you say to me, we do, I know that we got problems. The two themes, South America and sparkling wines from the world. So one at a time there. South America. We were talking about Mexico and its place in North America and South America. And they're a wine nation. Actually, they're a tequila. They're a wine country dominated by tequila, politically and culturally. But South America is such a glorious renaissance for wine. And when were they last here?
Well, I was thinking back, like Chile's been the theme twice before.
That's right.
Once in 2003 and then 2012.
I remember that one.
And Argentina was the theme country in 2010, the Olympics year, where we did a co-theme of Argentina and New Zealand together because they were not primary competitors in the marketplace because Argentina was primarily red and New Zealand was primarily white. So we had a global focus on rosé so we could split the difference. But, you know, 20 years ago, interestingly, we'd have like a dozen wineries from Chile, and there'd be like one winery from Argentina. So much has changed in the last 20 years and sort of the rise of the wineries from Argentina. And there's such an amazing story to South America because, you know, people don't realize like how big Chile is. Like Chile is basically like taking the Rocky Mountains, okay, and shoving them to Hope, like 100 miles from Vancouver, and then pushing the Rockies so that they're twice as high. The Andes are twice as high as the Rockies. Imagine this mountain range and Hope in a country the size of Texas, all the way from the panhandle of Alaska to El Salvador. That's how big Chile is. And then on the other side of the Rockies, like you would, you know, look at the Canadian prairies, is one of the largest countries in the world. I think Argentina is like seventh largest or something like that. These are massive countries with long traditions, long histories, and Argentina has been loving and consuming their own wines for, you know, a couple hundred years. And so they've now been exporting. There's so much going on. And for the first time in the festival, we have a winery from Brazil.
Brazil, but you got one. You won. One, but you got one.
Miolo, yeah. We got a couple from Uruguay. Yep. And we're going to sneak in a little bit of wine from Bolivia and Peru into a couple of our seminars and at the South America tasting station in the tasting room. So we've never done a themed continent before. South America is the theme. You know, we're going to infuse as much a Latin American culture and food influences in our events as possible. We were hoping, I was crossing my fingers, that we also would get at least one winery from Mexico. You know, it's like trying to get like wineries from Ontario to participate. You know, you just keep thinking, I hope we, but it's not easy for Mexico to be in this marketplace. There is a winery that's been to the festival and is in our marketplace, El Cheto.
Yep. Yep.
But you don't see them very often.
No, but they're one of the big wineries in the Guadalupe Valley. So here's the deal. Let me take a break here because we have to do that. Those are the things that we do. When we come back,
we'll talk about sparkling.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about sparkling. Okay, Harry Hirschick, who is the executive director of the Vancouver International Wine Festival Year 44. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. April brings fresh new wines to Unsworth. Cowichan Pinot Gris, Rosé, Sunnydale Rosé, Saison Pinot Gris, and Symphony. There's a spring release party April 22nd, and we welcome a grand new chef, Dan Bain, and a brand new executive chef brings a brand new menu that's launching right now. How about a steak? Boursin Bash, Vegetables, Symphony Jus. How about Two Rivers Burgers and Fries or Grilled Romaine Heart Salad? You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Wines. Very much a part of the portfolio at Mount Boucherie is Modest Wines. The original idea for these wines was to have a house red and a white for their restaurant, The Modest Butcher. These wines became incredibly popular and a whole new series took off. The mantra at Modest Butcher and Mount Boucherie Estate is to celebrate wine, food, and laughter with an unpretentious yet professional vibe. All the details can be found at mountboucherie.com. He's Harry Hirschick, executive director of the Van Wine Fest. He's very busy, and I can only keep, I know somebody's going to come in and say he has to go now. So let me keep talking to him, and maybe we can stun him. We were talking about the two themes, South America, that's great. Sparkling wines from the world. It's a big world, a lot of sparkle out there. How many wines specifically?
I think there's going to be probably around 100 different sparkling wines. We have a South America, I mentioned a South America tasting station in the tasting room. There will also be a sparkling wine tasting station with sparkling wines from around the world. We don't have much representation of sparkling from South America, so it's kind of has a good contrast. You know, people have been living in like one bubble for the last year or two, and it's just time. The reason we chose sparkling is we just need more bubble in our life. We need to break out and we need to celebrate. You know, we often think of wine either being white or red. And I don't think that sparkling wine is just for celebrating. It's not just for birthdays and New Year's Eve. It's a great way to kick off a party. It's great to have it at brunch. And it's like rosé is a growth category, and it's appealing to the younger segments of the wine drinking population.
It feels like a celebration when you open something sparkling, even if it's Prosecco, even if it's a pop top. There's just something. Bella up in Naramata Bench, that sparkling rosé is just a celebration. As soon as you open it, it just talks to you. It's fantastic. Well, that's fantastic. I like that. I like that one a lot. What do we got here? I'm looking at some of your events, because there's a lot of events. There's a California thing going on. They're doing a taco night.
Yeah, on the Wednesday evening, which is kind of a traditional spot for California wines to do some kind of like wine mingler. Last year they did a beach party at Granville Island. This year they're doing a California Wine and Taco Fest, so kind of that Latin American influence in an event with California wines, and it's going to be at the Pipe Shop at the foot of Lonsdale in North Van.
Nice.
We haven't ever had an event that big in North Van, and it's going to be a blast. And that event, we've got two minglers, one on Tuesday night called Fiesta del Vino, which is going to celebrate South America wines and sparkling wines from around the world on the Tuesday evening, and then California Wine and Taco Fest on the Wednesday night. And get this, in this day and age, both of those events, including wine and, you know, music, fun, food, appetizers, both of those events, all in. Taxes included, food, tips, ticket charges, all in $69. What other event can you go to for $69 for 2 hours and enjoy yourself as much as you could at Fiesta del Vino and California Wine and Taco Fest?
Some people pay that for parking in a day. That's ridiculous. Okay,
I got one more thing about the Fiesta del Vino. Sabrine Dhaliwal from Chickadee Room is going to have a celebratory cocktail for everyone.
Okay.
That's part of the culture now. Wine drinkers have a cocktail.
Did it get a name? So, do we know what the name of the cocktail is?
I don't know yet. Okay. I'll find out. She's going to, you know what she's done for a cocktail? She's created a vermouth and she's created the base of the cocktail, all from South American wines.
What is the name of your South American wine grazing lunch on the Saturday the 29th?
Sabor Sudamericano.
Well done.
And it is on the third floor of the Convention Center West Building with the amazing view of Burrard Inlet. All 44 South American wineries, all of them, will be in this event. Two wines each, 88 wines, a full buffet, all in, $119.
The Spring Fling, Sunday, April the 30th. It's a finale. It's a big grazing buffet, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a sad note to this, is that with the pandemic, we have not been able to bring back our beloved Vintner's Brunch.
Mm, that's right.
Which we've had for like 30 years. Which involved like 16 restaurants getting up at 5 in the morning with their staff, coming to the convention center, putting on a dish paired with a wine and a chef wine and food pairing contest. But the restaurants have been so challenged the last couple of years, you know, in terms of staffing, like to get a restaurant to put that much effort on a Sunday morning. And the feedback is we're not quite ready, you know, to bring that back. So the Spring Fling is hopefully to bridge us to have Vintner's Brunch come back. And last year, the festival was in mid-May. This year, we're in the last week of April. So we thought, you know, you can't have a 10th annual Spring Fling. You can have a Spring Fling here and maybe another Spring Fling there. But when we go back to February next year, there won't be any Spring Fling anymore. Hopefully, we'll bring the Vintner's Brunch back. So the Spring Fling is mostly like sparkling wines and rosés with a brunch buffet.
You remind me of
something. $119 all in.
Harry Hershick, executive director of the Vancouver Wine Fest, you remind me of something with the word Vintner's. I attended what feels like 10, 12 years ago, a Vintner's holiday event in Yosemite National Park, in the hotel there, where they shot the film, movie, never mind. I'll think of it someday. And the featured speaker was Evan Goldstein.
Wow.
And it was a Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he was talking about Pinot Noir. And we were all ears, and we were sitting there ready to go. And he started by saying, if I were buying a winery today, a vineyard, I wouldn't buy in California. I wouldn't buy in Oregon. I would not buy in Washington State. I would buy in British Columbia because it's all coming their way. Now, this is like 10, 12 years ago, and he's talking, he's thinking climate change. And he's saying, that's where I would, and you can hear this sort of grumble go through the audience. He said, it's true. I would buy in British Columbia simply because all the climatic graphs are heading in their direction, and that's where the next renaissance will be. How about that? And he's your featured speaker.
Yes, he's going to be in keynote speaker lunch featuring Evan Goldstein, Master Sommelier, on the Wednesday. He's doing a trade plenary Thursday morning called Southern Exposure. We'll be sprinkling him speaking at a variety of events, and then he's going to lead a top flight seminar of the best of South American wines on the Saturday afternoon, La Crema de la Crema.
Yeah, I love that.
I know. He is a dynamic personality.
He's funny,
we
too.
We first announced South America as a theme back in 2020, so we invited him to the wine festival in March 2020 to get a taste of it and get him all kind of excited, and we did not have a theme country at last year's festival, so it's just great to have Evan around for the week of the festival. He's a dynamic person.
All right. Speaking of round, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, it'll be a speed round, you and I, and I'll let you go. He is the executive director of the Vancouver International Wine Festival, year 44, episode 44. He is Harry Hershick. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Wines. Very much a part of the portfolio at Mount Boucherie is Modest Wines. The original idea for these wines was to have a house red and a white for their restaurant, The Modest Butcher. These wines became incredibly popular and a whole new series took off. The mantra at Modest Butcher and Mount Boucherie Estate is to celebrate wine, food, and laughter with an unpretentious yet professional vibe. All the details can be found at mountboucherie.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Happy to report that the tasting room will reopen April the 5th. So you can book your tasting now. If you sign up for the newsletter, they'll blow the whistle on the new releases when the time comes. Just pick the wines that you want for your club shipments and get first dibs on releases and fancy rare stuff from the old small lots wines. And shipping is free for 6 bottles or more. And remember, they open April 5. All the details at mooncursor.com. Vancouver Wine Festival, friends. Tasting Room Radio is our feature, and Harry Hershick is the guy. He's the guy to talk to. And we always talk numbers, Harry, but before we get to the numbers, what haven't I touched on that you would like to pass on to this audience? What particular thing is a passion for you this time around?
Well, I'm always amazed that when you go to a concert, you're having a collective experience. There's a collective aspect to the wine festival, but because every person tastes different wines in the tasting room, in a sense, you're having your own particular unique experience at every wine festival, and particularly in the tasting room. And one of the things that I just have to remind people, because it seems too good to be true, but every wine that you taste in the tasting room is available on the on-site liquor store.
Yes!
And that on-site liquor store, if you go to the liquor store before you taste wine, you'll get to see all the labels, you get a visual image of what you're doing, and look at those tags. All the blue dots are wines that are not normally in the marketplace, and so like those are the ones to really zero in on. And you can have any of the wines that you want, you can have them delivered free of charge. 3 bottles, 2 cases, 4 cases, like 7 bottles, it doesn't matter, free of charge delivery to your local liquor store anywhere in British Columbia. You don't have to carry all those bottles after you leave the liquor store. And for the people who are coming from out of town, or even if you're still in Metro Vancouver, you know, stay at a downtown hotel. Like, go all in on this. Go to the restaurants, hang out with the wine producers. And if you get a hotel room through StayVancouverHotels.com, we give you a free ticket. You get a free ticket to taste 700 wines from 147 wineries from 17 countries for free. It's the, like,
how can you say no? And the walk to and from is glorious. It's glorious. I've done it. Here's the deal.
I don't understand why people go through the whole trouble of, like, okay, I get it. Like, it's hard to commit to a hotel room and a wine festival. But, hey, people do that all the time if the Rolling Stones come to town or Paul McCartney. I mean, this is one of the top wine events in the world. Like, you got to go all in for the weekend.
All right, ready? Here's a quick speed round for you. Just give me the numbers. Wines.
I'm going to guess 1,400. I think it's a 1,400 wine year.
No, it's 1,150. Never mind.
You know what? You're right. We're a little bit smaller. You're right. We're okay. About three quarters capacity. Thanks for sorting me out.
How many wineries?
147.
151. How many venues?
I know we lost a few.
How many wins? How many venues?
25?
20. How many events?
I know that one. 36.
36. How many countries?
Did I get that one right?
Yeah. How many countries?
17.
How many days?
Okay, but I'm going to add something.
What?
We have three. we have 17 countries is where the wineries are from, but that we've snuck in a couple of wines from a wine from Peru, Bolivia, yep, and South Africa, even though they're not like full tables.
Okay.
So we actually have wines from 20 countries.
All right. Well, you didn't sneak the Americans in because they came full tilt. Full tilt.
Where did you get all this data sheet? I should have.
It goes like this. It goes like this. Hold on a second. Okay. Argentina. Catina Zapata, Donna Paula, Luigi Bosca, Norton Trapiche, and Zuccardi. I mean, it's the reason why you would go, just to stay there in Argentina and taste, right?
One of the reasons, you know, one of the great things about the wine festival is that not only you get a chance to taste the wine, but every producer that comes, the owner or winemaker, senior executive has to be there to pour the wine.
Exactly.
So you're dealing with, a producer who actually knows the winery, knows the wines. And a lot of people say to me, one of the great things I love about the wine festival, I made a connection and they invited me to their winery. And who knows what can happen? You might be able to stay at the guest house. I mean, this is really a starting point, not only a stop in one's wine journey, but it can also like kickstart a great vacation. Underestimate that.
Harry Hershick. Harry, you mentioned Chile. I think it was 2017, 2018 when they were featured?
2012.
The
last year of the Vancouver Playhouse International Wine Festival.
What I remember most is everybody who guested over at our table when we were doing the interviews, they were all just raving about the Chilean Sauv Blanc. They were just crazy for their whites. So here's Vina Carmen, Concha Toro, Connoisseur, Montez, Santa Rita, Andaraga, and many, many, many more. It's a glorious display of Chilean winery.
Yeah, I love coastal Sauvignon Blancs from Chile, like from Leda Valley, Casablanca, Aconcagua. I know they still make a lot of Sauvignon Blanc from the Central Valley in Chile, but the Sauvignon Blancs that come from the coast are... So ask them, do you have any Sauvignon Blanc from the coast?
The coast, okay.
Those would be my tip.
Do you think those coastal, because there's fog on the coast, they would be dry farmed?
There's a lot of dry farming in Chile. It tends to be further south,
okay,
especially with Carignan.
Okay.
All right. It's a very dry country, but there would be a little more moisture, and there is some fog influences then for sure, in Casablanca particularly.
If I only mentioned the two wineries from New Zealand, Australia rather, Penfolds, hello, and Wakefield. That's remarkable. I just wrote those two down. There's more, but Penfolds is a great starting point.
Yeah, I'd like to see more participation from Australia, and I hope to see that again in the future. But I would love to see an Australia-New Zealand theme coming up in a few years.
Yeah, yeah. Canada. Let me move you along here. Canada. I think I counted 21 titles. Unsworth, Fort Barons, Lake Breeze, Laughingstock, McWaters, Incabeep, Sois La Rose, who just on the show now, and Poplar Grove, and more, Phantom Creek. They have to decide, first of all, if they have enough product to be pouring. If you don't see your favorite BC winery there, there's a number of things that go into it, but and it requires a huge time commitment from them and product as well. But they do show up, don't they?
Yeah, because they're using the wine festival as an introduction to get more club members. And even though there is 21 or so wineries from British Columbia at the festival, there's actually going to be a lot more representation than just those 21 wineries. Because what I've heard is, like, not every winery is in each year's festival. So there's going to be probably a couple dozen representatives of the wineries not in the festival who have a chance to just taste wine and network and interact on the tasting room floor as well. It's an important part of the wine festival is the networking of the industry. So,
okay.
So you'll probably see winemakers from wine. Hey, they get it's like having a year off. They can do whatever they want. And then next year, a whole other group of wineries will be, but it's a strong lineup. I mean, Laughingstock and Phantom and Poplar Grove.
Yeah.
It's like the crema de la crema of BC wine.
Okay. One quick break and then we're done. He's Harry Hirschick. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Happy to report that the tasting room will reopen April the 5th. So you can book your tasting now. If you sign up for the newsletter, they'll blow the whistle on the new releases when the time comes. Just pick the wines that you want for your club shipments and get first dibs on releases and fancy rare stuff from the old small lots wines. And shipping is free for 6 bottles or more. And remember, they open April 5. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Happy to report that the tasting room at Hillside is now open for the season. Sales Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. The wine shop Monday to Friday, 10 to 4. The bistro is now open for the season. Lunch from 11:30 to 2:30 and dinner from 5 to 9 with the brilliant work of the chef, Evan Robertson. Make your plans, friends. It's going to be a busy season. For all the details, just go to hillsidewinery.ca. This is Harry Hirschick, and we're just running down. Finally, if I'm going to write these notes, I'm going to say these questions to Harry, and then we'll let him go. This is why it's called the Harry Hirschick Show. Now, France is coming to the 44th annual Vancouver Wine Fest. Germany, Greece, Hungary, Italy is coming with Mazi and Tomasi family and all those people. Japan is here. New Zealand has but one winery, Oyster Bay. But they're coming. Spain, the United States, almost 30 wineries, Harry?
Yeah, it's from a very large contingent. Italians are here, and they love traveling here. And so there's no California Wine Fair in Vancouver this year. So
right.
that's why there's a lot of strong California energy with so many wineries, plus the California Wine and Taco Fest. And they're also doing a great seminar, California Wines, Eureka in the Glass, led by DJ Kearney and a panel of winemakers.
There's a troublemaker. Okay.
Yeah.
It starts with Aquilini, Beringer, Duckhorn, Lake Sonoma. Nice. That's a nice connection. Mondavi, of course, your original winery. The original first stepped up and was at the very first Vancouver Wine Festival. Signorello, Ray's coming back. I see the Wagner family's coming. And he said flipping his notes here. And that's it. I think I ran.
We have also from Oregon, Willamette Valley Vineyards.
Yes.
I don't think we've seen them in a long time. That's a tip I would definitely check out their Pinot Noirs and Chardonnay.
I know Chateau Saint-Michel is there, but I'm always disappointed when I don't see more from Washington State. You'd think, that's all.
I know. I love the wines from Oregon, Washington. It's a competitive market.
The
price point changes once it goes across the border, you know. Ontario and Washington feel that, you know, it's tough to compete here because of our loyalty with British Columbia wines. It almost feels like, Terry, that it's okay to drink French wines and Italian wines.
Yeah.
But it almost has a sense that if someone drinks an Ontario or Washington State wine in Vancouver, it's like, oh, you're not being loyal to BC. Mm. Although no one would think that if you were drinking French or Italian. And I guess that's that, you know, some people claim that we're homers, you know, and I've heard you mention that on
Charlie,
your show as
Charlie
well,
Pelletieri.
But I really believe, you know, we're a port city. We have, it's important to support our local industry, but it's also important for us to have an international palate and taste the wines of the world and be a global city in many ways.
I'm going to leave you with this. Anthony von Mandel is the honorary chair of the Bacchanalia Gala, and it celebrates him as well. Does he come in on the throne? How do they bring him? How does he enter?
Well, he's going to be at the gala, and so I'm looking forward to connecting with him. And it's great. It's great to, I mean, he's been, you know, he is like many others, like the pioneers, like Harry McWaters and others, you know, really built quite an industry in the Okanagan, so much so that we've got companies, organizations from Ontario starting to buy up BC wineries.
Oh yeah.
So,
oh yes.
That's almost another topic for another show.
Tis. There's a panel right there.
But Anthony von Mandel has bought now. He's now got a winery in Ontario.
He needs production. That's what he needs. And he's got some great friends. And he has now. He has the reach to do such a thing. So that's great. That's fine. That's good. I'm very happy for him. I really am. I'm happy for him. The dates again are Harry.
We're going to kick off with the gala on April 22nd, Saturday night, and then we kick off Festival Week Monday and through Sunday, April 24th to 30th. The big tasting room days on Thursday, Friday, Saturday of that week. Everything's at vanwinefest.ca, and we have on the website, get on to the Festival at a Glance. You can see all 36 events. You can connect on each of the events, find out whether they're sold out or not and what the price is. And so Festival of Glance is the portal to your to fun times at the wine festival.
Do you have any online on-camera panels that people can see?
No. Okay. No, we looked at that. And one of the things that in our research is that when you do things online, you're really producing two events.
That's right. Yep.
And, you know, there's a value if you're a winery and you want to connect with your customers. There's something really valuable about connecting people using Zoom and online. But we're going to really put our energy in great events where people are together, eye to eye, tasting together. And we do a lot of social media. We can connect with people that way and give people maybe seminar recaps, you know, snippets of things. But have someone sit at home without wine, staring at an event for 2 hours, you know, come to Vancouver. Be part of the community. Come to the wine festival.
There's nothing like walking into that room, the convention center. Nothing. It's just you get all goosebumps, and it stays with you. Harry, what's your website, please?
Pardon?
What's your website?
VanWineFest.ca.
What's the price point?
And I mentioned it in my thing. You could probably cut this part out.
Thank you very much, Harry. I appreciate it very much. I'm trying to get there for the first trade session.
Yeah.
It's going to be a journey from Mill Bay. I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Hey, I got a question for you. People say that Vancouver, the wine festival is like Christmas or it's like Disneyland. Which is it more for you? More like Christmas or more like Disneyland?
It's more like Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Okay, I like it.
Yeah, super.
Okay, I'll find some halftime entertainment.
It's every all-star I ever wanted to see. It's almost like an all-star. It is an all-star game. That's what it is, not Super Bowl. It's an all-star game. Everybody at their position is an all-star, and you just can't wait to get in the room and be part of their world.
You know, one of the things that's unique about the wine festival, it's the one time of year that Vancouverites actually show up ahead of time to things and aren't late.
It's true. You want to use every possible minute. Thank you for this, Michael.
I love the All-Star. I'm going to use that. I was getting tired of Christmas in Disneyland. Yeah. I'm going All-Star.
All-Star.
Now.
All-Star game.
That's very valuable.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Happy to report that the Tasting Room at Hillside is now open for the season. Sales, Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. The Wine Shop, Monday to Friday, 10 to 4. The Bistro is now open for the season. Lunch from 11:30 to 2:30 and dinner from 5 to 9 with the brilliant work of the chef, Evan Robertson. Make your plans, friends. It's going to be a busy season. For all the details, just go to hillsidewinery.ca.